Blog Talk Radio.
Here it thinks that I have another monitor plugged in, and that's where the chat room is, so I can't see that right now. Gonna work that out without accidentally hanging up on the show. But we have some callers. Let's bring those on. 720, you're unmuted.
And
we have 408 as well. Hello, 720 and 408.
Hello.
You say 720?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Nick.
Hey Nick, how are you?
And Nick.
Amazing. How's everyone else?
Good, good. It's Tana. And so, we're good. I'm good. Jim, how are you?
Doing okay. So we also have 408 on the line. Hello, 408. Okay. I guess 408 is just listening. So, anything new, guys, while I try to figure out how to find the chat room on my computer here?
Nick, anything new with you? Nothing new with me.
Right on.
I'm looking for an earpiece so I can talk more, to be honest.
Okay. Okay, well, there's chat, but I have to switch desktop. Nick?
What's up?
How do I merge desktops on my Mac?
How do you merge desktops?
Yeah, I don't know. You used to be able to.
What are you saying? You want two screens, is what you're saying?
No, it thinks I have two screens, but I don't have two plugged in right now. I'll figure it out. Anywho, has the Lord been doing anything cool with anyone lately?
Well, he's always cool. He's always cool. I'm trying to think.
I'm trying to, like, not disrupt my roommates. Room while I find this earpiece.
I can do a little chat. I'm going to do a little shout out for Stacy's sister, RCC. If anyone can send some funds Stacy's sister's way, she's being evicted, and with her baby. 12-year-old, and she could really use some financial favor. So if anyone at RCC has anything that they'd like to send her way, it's stacyandleek@yahoo.com. So PayPal, stacyandleek@yahoo.com, I believe is what it is.
All right. And if maybe we can post that in chat, too,
We need to help our sister, Stacy's sister. We're all family, so whatever we can send, you know, like it's $5, $10, whatever, everything helps. Yeah, stacyandleeke. I'm like drinking leek and saying K at the same time. So sorry.
Oh, let's welcome Keith. We have Keith on the line. Hi, Keith.
Hey. Hi, Keith.
Hey, everybody.
Love you, Keith.
Love you, too. Good job. Hope you're doing good. Who else is on? Who else did you say was on? Who's online right now?
Tana and Nick.
Yeah, and we're about to bring on Nick. Mama Pat. Mama Pat.
Yay.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
Oh, need a lot of prayer for the South there with all the tornadoes and stuff. Wow. Unreal. So I've been praying all day.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with that. That's right now near where Katie is. Katie, if you're listening, call in. Let us know how the weather is. She's chasing it around, trying to get sucked up. So.
Knowing
Katie, I know she's chasing it around.
Or no, she has her car parked right in the pathway of it, ready to go. Like, come and get me.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
ready.
Yeah.
She's got,
she jumped
she's
the gun
got
on
a
us.
Map, and she's, yeah, she's. Yeah.
You know, being taken up
the rapture tornado, the transition tornado. Yeah.
The express ticket. I can now see the chat room again. We have 14 users in chat.
Oh,
hi,
wow.
Everybody. Keith, can you inbox me what guest you are?
Yeah, let me get in the room. Oh, no, I got, Tana got me in the room last night.
Yeah, Keith has his own account now. He's no longer a guest. He's part of the church family now.
Yeah.
Church.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, you got to log in as that, Keith.
Click on the link. And I go to the bottom right, Tana, and then I click log in.
Yeah, just click log in and then enter your email and your password.
If
you
get
it, I'll
text
it to you.
Right, click
the
on the current one, right, Tana? Click on the current one.
Click on current show, yeah. Click on current show. And then go all the way down to the bottom.
Okay. Okay.
And then go on the very bottom, it should say login or sign in. Register or whatever. And you click on login, and then it'll tell you to enter your password, your username or whatever, your email and your password. This is how to get on chat, everyone.
It is not easy.
Okay. Okay, so it says
It's all good. Work it out. I'm not going to kick anyone yet. Pat, Mama Pat.
Yes, dear.
What do you think we should do tonight?
I think give as much encouragement as to everybody about him coming. I've got some more goodies to read if you know, just a few. I'm not going to, have too many, but bring everybody on who wants to talk and everything, and then we can do this a little bit later even. But I ask the Holy Spirit to always guide us. So whatever is on your heart, I know some others have liked reading this from Vaughn because it's so encouraging. Today is the 28th. Mm-hmm. So I think keep our spirits up, keep encouraging, and keep going here, and reaching out to others as best we can.
I was going to say, Roman reminded me, I spoke with Roman today on Skype,
yeah.
And he was, he's got so much energy in there, he's like tapping it today, and then he reminded me how, the Jewish people always have their weddings on Tuesdays, and technically it is Tuesday in Israel, probably
mm-hmm.
almost soon, anyway, and it's still the 28th for us. So it'll be 29th for them, but it's still the 28th for us. So he's like, we're going home today. And I agree. We're going home today, tonight. So,
yeah.
Amen.
We had one of those tornadoes.
It's an easy way to
there.
Get up.
Your
so
boy. Woo, right up.
Yes, so Jesus is translating us, because it's his, the wedding. He's marrying us, so on a Tuesday.
Sounds beautiful. Yeah, like I said, I played the part of the bride for her rehearsal, so I kind of know what's going to go on there with the with the wedding. So that's cool. What was I like? I was every bit of 16
I
was
able to get
years
logged
old.
I couldn't get logged in. Oh, maybe it's just these things, boy. They're just ugh. Okay. Let me. Go ahead.
Hey.
What is it? Wait. What is it?
Tana got me logged in, but now I'm trying to click on it. Doesn't work. I hate these. Oh, man. I hate these logins. Like, enter your password, and then they're like, try it again. Doesn't work.
Don't feel bad. I couldn't get in either.
I think in hell, there's probably a place in hell where someone sits by the computer, and they have to log in, and it never works. They just keep logging in for hours, and just says, sorry. Try again, sucker. Oh, I tried again. Sorry, you got the wrong letter. And it's like hell, because they just... can never log in. Okay, so.
Make sure
Joe, did you want me to go over the news?
Yeah,
oh, yeah the
that
news.
Would be great.
Okay. Okay, so let's go. A lot of people are dealing with food issues, they said, at the Fukushima, with all the radiation coming from Japan, from Fukushima. Let's see, this says, Russian doomsday plane active for fourth consecutive day. I think there's some plane. Oh, they have some kind of plane flying for the fourth consecutive day, raising tensions in Ukraine. The storm is really bad in the eastern part, east coast of the United States, covering Oklahoma, from Oklahoma City to Raleigh, North Carolina, all the way through. Severe storms happening. I guess that's what Pat was talking about, tornadoes
yeah.
and stuff. We pray for them. Iran's president has expressed optimism over a final agreement with the six major powers, which is just really sad that we would recognize them as a superpower when they don't even have the darn things. Just really pathetic. And very dangerous to the world, by the way, because they want to annihilate Israel, as they say in every UN meeting. John Kerry warns Israel could become an apartheid state if the peace talks fail. Basically, Kerry, what he's done with Israel is he's basically threatened them. You know, we won't protect you. We will, he said, the world will, you know, not buy your products, and we won't be able to stop them. In other words, a.k.a. we will go along with the program. Basically saying, threatening them, you know, that if you don't sign, then we might just have to backlash against you. So it's a bad scene. And Israel is really leaning on them. The U.S., like in the past, the U.S. always protected Israel. But now Israel is leaning on man instead of Jesus. So that's why three-fourths of their nation is going to be wiped out, because they're leaning on man. It's just horrible. So we pray for Israel for sure. And
wow.
oppression of Muslims. Obama is ending, he wants to end the oppression of Muslims, most violent religion on earth. And yet Christians are being massacred around the world, in Africa and different places, and he's not said one thing about it. So you can see, obviously, he's Muslim and siding with the Muslims. U.S. exports warn of cyber attack over further sanctions on Russia. U.S. security specialists warn that Russia hackers may answer new sanctions by attacking computer networks of the U.S. banks, okay? That's going to be the war of the current future. Cyber attacks keep revving up more and more. China may have read all MP emails for a year. China scanning our emails. 65,000 Russian troops massed for the Ukraine invasion. They won't be able to beat Russia, but they're going to call in the U.S. and Europe. But again, like that oil is going through there, and Russia wants to turn off that oil. U.S. electricity prices may go up for good. Well, that's inflation going up around the world. Jewish mayor of eastern Ukraine fighting for life. Okay. He was shot. Okay. Farmers are being cautioned to prepare contingency plans amid early signs of large El Nino climate this year. Wow. El Nino is when the weather is complete opposite of what it normally is, and it happens really bad. I think a few people mentioned, most people probably mentioned El Nino. We had years ago, we had incredible amounts of rain and stuff, but we're going to have it again. Okay. Let's see. A massive volcano pumping out toxic smog. Is a threat to Britain. Millions could die. Killer virus spreads to the U.S. hogs and the U.S. pigs. I'm getting it. Atheists are doing their own prayers instead of the Christians in the military. The U.S. and the European Union will impose new sanctions as early as today on Russia. Obamacare is wiping out a lot of doctors, a lot of top hospitals they're not using. Cancer patients they've cut off. They don't care. Basically, the Obamacare is a way to control every human being in the U.S. and force an RFID chip, which is the mark of the beast. RFID chip is written in their Obamacare code, so nobody should be fooled by that, you know. Iran to target decoy U.S. aircraft carrier and drills. Oh, Iran set up a fake carrier thing that they're trying to attack, pretending it's the U.S. California is in a drought. That's because we ship oil across the country, but we never can ship water. It doesn't make any sense. One part's flooding. In fact, you know, Seattle getting more rain they ever had in the history of Seattle. We're in a drought, we'll figure. You know, tornadoes kill 16 in Arkansas, 1 in Oklahoma. Lord, please protect those people in Jesus' name. Let's see. And that is all the news for today.
Wow, that's enough.
I know, huh?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that is a lot coming on.
That is a lot. Mamma mia. Ay, ay, ay.
And again, we still have the strong band of storms going across.
Yeah, we're going to get smashed.
We're
going to
fly across the country. Yeah. Weird, weird
weather. I might ride up on a tornado. I'll beat you guys. kidding.
I'll join you on that, Ryan.
I'll grab one and collect everybody. We'll all go up together. Hey, come on, Lord. Don't make me have to get a tornado and go up. Oh, dear. He's going to hit me. Those poor people. I shouldn't even be laughing. It's so horrible what's happening. So
it really, but, you know, it's from the disaster I saw on TV, when I heard that there were only 8 fatalities, and what I saw was, it blew my mind. I mean, I thought, like, there would be, like, 800. I guess maybe there weren't that many people.
No, there's 18,
but just,
there's 18 so far.
Oh, is it up to 18? I mean, it's just, it's,
yeah, it's
decimated. 18. Yeah, it's
yeah.
Like, wow.
They showed an aerial view, and it's like a war zone. I mean, just everything's flattened.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
What I saw. It was crazy.
Just flattened.
Definitely enough. But,
wow.
Yeah, definitely praying for those families.
Yeah.
It
just makes you just sick and sick at heart when you realize these poor souls, what they're going through. And some of them are getting hit again and again. I mean, my logic thinking is, why are you there? If I was there and even got hit once a little bit, I would get my family, my kids and everything, and get a job in Florida or somewhere, you know, and get out of there, you know, because every year they play, you know, tornado roulette, you know. You don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's such an essential part of the farming industry. They can't pick up their land and move it.
I know.
I know. Like,
I'm just saying that whoever can, though, should get out of there, really, though. You know. And the one went down in the storm cellar, and he came up, and he said, thank God we had the storm cellar. But when he came up, it was totally flat. There was no house. There was nothing. Totally nothing. So it's pretty scary.
It's a little, you know, they call it the finger of God, a tornado. And an F5 has sustained winds of over 200 miles an hour, and that just shows that that's nothing compared to what, you know, God could really do. So
I know.
And that's just a small window into, you know, unfortunately
know.
Everyone is going to have a wake-up call if they don't come to the Lord on their own. And it's going to be like walking
get
out of that.
Wake-up call.
And it's going to be just like walking out of that storm cellar and looking around and being like, all right, everything
shock,
I thought
in shock.
Mattered is gone. Yeah.
Yeah,
what matters
just
now?
Just shock. And the young people are like looking around like this, you know, a dopey look on their face like, what happened? Like, yeah, well, that's what happened. He lost everything. And they said, I've never been homeless before, they said. And, oh, boy, you know, wow, pretty shocking. Pretty shocking when you come up and there's nothing. There's nothing. And some people don't even have storm cellars. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's easy.
Yeah.
Ah, that's a shame. Oh, let's pick up the spirit here with the song. We'll say Spirit in the Sky.
Yes.
Do a little bit of praying.
Spirit in the Sky, okay.
When I
Oh, that was great. You like that, Pat? Mm.
Oh, yeah, those words are perfect. Absolutely.
That song always puts me in a better mood.
Yeah, I would. We just keep praying, and that's all you can do. Just keep praying, and that's all you can do for these people. But spring comes, and we know that this comes with it, but we just keep praying that God comfort the ones who are affected in whatever way he can, you know. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
You want me to read some of the rapture stuff from Bond? I don't know if you want me to.
I do.
Definitely.
Okay.
Nick
this one is called.
I do too.
Okay. Oh, I love this stuff, and I just hope it uplifts and encourages everybody. He says, "I am coming down into the hearts of men." This is so good. No matter what happens in your life, I want you to keep trusting me, my daughter. Events will soon come that could rattle your faith. But I want you to remain strong in me, your Lord and Savior. I will not fail you, my daughter. I will protect you and provide for your every need. Of course, he's speaking to all of us. He said, and this is more, the next sentence is very in bold print. I am coming down into the hearts of men in such a way that I will reveal myself to them, to every person living on the face of the earth. I will reveal myself. They will have no doubt that it is I, their creator, and that I love them dearly. They will have the choice of following me or rejecting me. This will be my last warning before I come for my bride and my wrath is poured out on the earth. Many millions will turn to me during this warning, but others will harden their hearts to me. Keep praying for the lost while there is yet time for them to change their hearts and to turn to me in repentance and faith. The glories awaiting my children who are faithful to me are unimaginable. For those who stay true to me, their Lord and Savior, and overcome, there is much laid up in heaven for you. Be overcomers and partake in my heavenly rewards, and be immersed in my love for all eternity. Events will come quickly now. Prepare your hearts, for I am coming soon, your loving Savior Jesus Christ. And then it's got some scripture verses from John. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And from John 5, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And then from Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And Revelation 3:10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. And from Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chastise. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on the throne. In Revelation 2, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. In Revelation 2:25-26, this is the last one. But hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my word until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. So there you go. Boy, if that isn't a mouthful of encouragement.
That's awesome. We needed that, Pat.
Oh, just got quite a bit here. Quite a bit. Yeah, oh my goodness. Maybe we'll read some later on. You know, there's other people maybe want to share some stuff and whatever. So maybe,
yeah,
a couple more times.
Yeah, if you have something ready to go for later, that would be
Oh,
great.
Yeah, I've got them all written down. I have all the pages, so, you know.
You're the best, Pat.
Oh, Noelle, hey, we're all here. We're all doing this. We're all trying to help everybody and encourage, you know. You know, it, like I know I sound like a broken record, but if you don't eat told like 20 people or 50 people about this, you know, you might look at them, like I said, like, okay, I'll be kind and I'll listen to you, but I'm thinking you're a little nuts, but you know, but it's thousands. It's not just a handful. That fact in itself tells you something is biblical is going on, as Mr. Paul Begley would say there, what? Something biblical is going on. Well, it is. He's coming.
he's constantly showing us. I mean, I have chat blowing up right now. I'm getting inboxed. Everyone a few minutes ago when you were giving that word, is glowing in the spirit, also got just booted from chat. Like, all our names disappeared. Like,
oh,
apparently,
my gosh.
I guess they weren't there. I didn't have the page fully loaded on mine, so I'm splitting a small monitor right now with both the pages. But, yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Everybody was translated awesome. From chat? Wow.
Wow.
Yep.
Hey, don't leave us behind.
Well, I'm having so many issues. I don't think God wants me to chat and chat anymore because I'm sending, like, extreme chatter. I have 3 computers, and I can't get into chat on any of them.
Look at that.
Because
I don't feel so bad.
I click log in, and then, I mean, but I'm usually able to get in. But I click log in, and then it, like, doesn't ever log me in, and it just moves to the top of the screen and, like, to some ad. I'm like, okay, God, are you trying to tell me something to stop spending so much time in chat and spend more time with you, maybe? I don't know.
I can't get it at all.
No,
he's trying to make that decision for me. does he do this with it? He'll say, just because I was saying on the morning show how sometimes I feel like, well, I should be doing more and doing this, and he just says, love me, just love me, just love me, never mind you have to do this, you have to do that, you know, just love me, look at me, talk to me, keep me company, because every time we do that, we're repairing for the ones who don't think of him, don't believe in him, have nothing to do with him, haven't talked to him, don't come to him, don't anything him, and we every time we spend as much time with him, even if it's just looking at him, because he says that gives him glory too, from the readings of True Life and God, he says that's reparation as well, because you're repairing for all those souls out there that he's longing for, you know, that don't pay him any heed at all. So if I want to sit and look at him for a while and then go do the dishes or something, it's like put him first. It's like a Martha Mary thing, you know, like the one's running around crazy making the meal, and why doesn't thy sister help me? And he says, well, she's got the better part. So I got to remember that, what the better part is.
Guys, I want to welcome on area code 413. Hello, 413. How are you tonight?
Wait a minute. Hi, guys. I'm just bi-locating. On chat. And so the only way I can do it.
Hi. Hi, sweetie.
Hi, Lana.
Oh, I love y'all. Yeah, the way to get around it is just to call in and stick something in the, you know, chat room. We find a way.
So, Alana, you were in chat when that happened?
Oh, honey, I've been in chat like it bounces me around. You know, I just pray on it, and he shows me a way out of no way.
So how are you doing today, Alana?
I am thankful. I am full of thanks. God carried me through this day, and I just spent the day saying, you know, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us sinners, you know, save us from the fires of hell, you know, lead all souls to heaven, especially those most in need of thy mercy, amen.
Amen.
So I'm good.
Well, oh, good, honey.
Yeah, long as you're praying for everybody, you should.
Yeah.
And especially for you.
Amen.
And listen, I'm going to mute myself. This is the law, and it feels kind of skip-going.
All right. Well, we love hearing you, and you come back on whenever you want. I'm going to leave you unmuted if you mute yourself, and you just hop on whenever you want.
Much, much love of Christ. Amen.
I'm muting. Right on, sister. Much love.
All right, honey.
Dad, I'm thinking about playing a song.
I sent Luca a whole bunch of songs. I thought he would like to toss me out the window. I sent so many, but I haven't heard any of them. But, hey, I know he's got to download them and stuff, you know.
Honestly, I mean, he's working. I have been trying to figure it out myself. Like, I want to upload a bunch of songs. Like, it's not easy. You think it's hard getting into chat. Like, this is, like, beyond hard. we kind of got like the 20 songs that we have and have been listening to.
I like Forever Young. That's lovely. Forever Young is lovely. Do you have
Forever
that one?
Young. I do. I'll tell you what, Pat. You'll get some Forever Young. Do you have a song maybe later on you could sing for us?
Oh sure. I've been doing my homework. Yeah, I've got.
Oh.
I can sing later for you. Sure. My joy.
Well, Here you go, Forever Young for Mama Pat.
Oh, thank you, love.
We love you.
And I love ever all you guys. Family.
Let us in style, let us die for a while. Heaven can wait, we're only watching the sky. Hoping for the best, but expecting the worst. Are you gonna drop the bomb or not? Let us die young or let us live forever. We don't have the power, but we never say never. Sitting in a sandpit, life is a short trip. The music's for the sad man. Can you imagine when the place is won? Turn our golden faces into the sun. Raising our leaders, we're getting in tune. The music played by the madman.
What we have from the music. So, 702, it's Nick. Nick, you still on the line?
Hello.
How about Keith or Tana?
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get the mute button thing down. I'm sorry.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
What's new with you, Nick? I need you to talk for a minute because my Novocaine's wearing off. I just came home from the dentist and started this up. So it kind of hurts for me to talk. But I'm fine. I can maintain. But the more other people talk, that would be really cool.
Nick, ask some questions. You have any questions, Nick?
Yeah, Nick,
what's going on?
Nothing, just happy to be back on here. Had some stuff going on with work, so I wasn't able to be on, but I'm excited to be back, and just happy to be with supportive people. It's beautiful hearing everyone talk, and I don't know.
We should talk about tribulation event or something interesting.
Hey, that's a good topic, Keith.
Yeah. I'm gonna. I'll explain the tribulation event because maybe there's people in the chat room that don't understand it.
I would love. That's awesome.
Okay, so for everyone out there that doesn't understand, like, because we're always throwing down these terms, 144K and tribulation and all this stuff, a lot of people don't understand it. So I'll explain it, and then if you already understand it, then you already know what I'm talking about. So basically, the tribulation is talking about a 7-year period that's going to occur on Earth that will be horrible. A lot of Christians confuse tribulation with trials. The Bible is very clear on that. There's trials you're going to go through, but the tribulation, which is the wrath of God, is very different. So some post-tribbers, some people believe that the rapture will happen before the tribulation. Some Christians believe that the rapture will happen, at the end of the tribulation or in the middle. There's pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation people. That's because they all claim that they're interpreting the Bible a certain way or whatever. The book of Revelation is written in chronological order from start to finish. So basically, Jesus is talking about at the start of Revelation, he's talking about the seven churches. Six out of seven churches, the book of Revelation says, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Ooh, that's pretty heavy. So if you took seven churches on earth, take all the churches on earth, six out of seven will not enter the kingdom. And why is that? Why would Jesus say that? I mean, that's kind of hardcore. Well, because when you go to the churches today, they have a spirit of religion. In other words, they give lip service to this fake, phony God that they love. I love you, God. They're coming across fake. I love you, Lord, with their words, but their actions don't back it up. But what does God mean by their actions? Well, God's not number one in their life, basically. They're not bearing fruit for the kingdom. They're not out advancing God's kingdom every day instead of their own kingdom. Either way, you're either advancing your kingdom or God's kingdom. So the tribulation after, so he talks about the seven churches, but he does say if they repent, they'll go right in the kingdom. Then there's the Philadelphia church that he talks about, and this is referring to us. This is the church that will be raptured. God has pulled his bride out of the churches. We call it the bride because he's pulled these people out of the churches, out of the sin of the world, and out of the trenches of the world, and into the rapture-ready centric bride. So after Revelation 3 and 4, the bride is no longer mentioned. From Revelation 4 to Revelation 19, it talks about the tribulation, the time of testing and trials on earth. The bride is not mentioned because the bride's not on earth. This is why we know for sure that we're going to be raptured before the tribulation. The bride's not mentioned during that whole period. The Jews are mentioned, however, though. There's 144,000 Jews. The Bible lists that there's 10,000 or whatever it is from each tribe. And the Bible says in Revelation that they will be sealed on their foreheads. God will put a seal on their foreheads. So that way the enemy on earth cannot touch them. So if the bride was going to be on earth during the tribulation, then the Lord would have said, the Jews will be sealed, and so will the bride. But he never mentions the bride, just mentions sealing the Jews. That doesn't mean the bride won't help, come down and help. It just means that clearly it's indicating the bride will be withheld from the hour of trial. Revelation 3:10 is the biggest verse in the whole Bible, and it talks about how we will be withheld from the hour of trial. Withheld means, is like God always shows me, is if he puts you in your hand and he's holding you up, you're withheld, removed, replaced, put somewhere else. Withheld would be like being held somewhere else. It's very interesting because if you look at the Jewish wedding, very interesting, the Jewish wedding, the wife and the husband, before they get married, they're separated. The husband is at his father's house in real life, and he has to stay away from the future bride. And they do this whole ritual where he blows the trumpet, just like we're going to get our trumpet blown for us. And if someone sees him in the streets in the town and they said, you know, when will you be marrying the bride? He says, you must go ask my father. And the Bible talks about that. That's what Jesus asked the Father when we're going to be raptured. It's all about this, right? It's so interesting.
So, I'm sorry.
You would be blown away if you knew that. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So, you would say that the closest religion, structuralized religion to our belief is being Jewish?
No, Christianity. No, but God deals with the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews are God's people. Remember, because Jesus died for the Jews and died for the Gentiles, but the Jews said, we want nothing to do with you. In fact, we wash our hands of it. You know, we want to put you up on the cross. So the Jews don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So they washed their hands. So then Jesus said, well, I offer my, salvation to the Gentiles. And that's us. So that's why he's always dealing with very separately the Jews and then us, the Gentiles. He never mixes. Never mixes. Everything is separated.
But the bride is extremely important in both, and those are the only two, is what you're saying?
The bride is extremely important because the bride comes from all walks of life. But in the tribulation, it will be separated, bride from the Jews. There will be 144,000 Jews on earth, and they will be doing miracles. I mean, the miracles that they will do, the power of God that will be in them, will be so profound that there will be miracles that will just utterly defy human logic. I mean, buildings will move, things will shake. There'll be power upon earth that has never been seen ever. Greater miracles than even when Jesus was around. Greater miracles than even Jesus did. Because the bride is going to be walking the earth. There will be demons, aliens walking around that look like people, but they're really be demonic. People will not be able to die during the tribulation. Death will defy them. They will try to kill themselves because it will be so bad with pestilences, diseases, earthquakes, volcanoes, all the horrible things of the tribulation. They will not be able to die. They will just be suffering and suffering. The mark of the beast, basically the government's trying to get everybody to get the RFID chip during that time. Anyone that takes that RFID chip, which is the mark of the beast, which is the little chip in their hand, they will be turned over to Satan forever, and they will go to hell, and there's no way they will be able to be saved. Nothing will stop that at that point. That's why on the earth during the tribulation, there will be two witnesses. These two witnesses are two people from God, and I think they're going to be wearing sackcloth, looking like the whole world will know on TV, oh my gosh, who are these people? They will look different. They will act different. They will talk different. They'll have so much power that out of their mouths they can breathe fire, and they can, when they take their stick and they hit the earth, they will shake the earth. Huge earthquakes around the world will happen when they shake their stick against the earth. They will have the power of God on them. And they will be telling people one thing. Do not take the mark of the beast. Jesus is the Messiah. That's it. That's what they're going to say. Now, we know they're giving
us... I just want to interject for a second because, Keith, you're doing such an awesome teach. I just want to... it's coming up in chat, and it's something I thought, too. So the 144,000 are not just, they're not Jews in the sense, I'm a member of the 144,000. I've never been
Jew. Yeah, but you're assisting 144. But the 144 is very, if you look in the Bible, it's very clear that the 144,000 will be Jews. It actually shows the number from each tribe. The bride will be assisting the 144, so we do say that we call the bride the 144 because they will be working with them. But there will be 144,000 exactly of Jews, of that influence, and they will be Jewish. And it actually lists the numbers. But Joe's right. The bride, we call the bride 144. We just say 144K because they're going to be basically the same. They're going to be working with them. So, but not all the brides will be coming back. Some of the bride will be in heaven.
Again, I mean, it's all, everyone has a different interpretation.
No, this is biblical. If you look in the book of Revelation, you open up, it'll give you the exact numbers on people. Unless you've got Jewish blood, it'll list the exact numbers from each tribe. 12,000 from each tribe.
Exactly.
So,
it's 12,000 from each tribe.
Joe, you're right. You can definitely be from, if you're from,
Tribes are of Israel. Like,
true.
That's what I'm saying. Like, all of the 144K, including myself, including many members of the RCC.
True, and again, I also want to stress,
many members of the RCC are not members of the 144K. That doesn't mean they're not part of the Bride of Christ. The 144K is just certain, we're going to come down and work with.
Well, there's 144, they will have a Jewish influence,
But it's not, the 144K is not just a Jewish thing. Like, I don't want to debate about that, but that's just, you know, it's not the case.
Well, but it does say in the Bible, it clearly says in the Bible that they will be of Jewish influence. So unless, if you got Jewish blood in you, you could be part of the 144.
Definitely I have a Jewish influence and the bloodline goes back, and you're absolutely right. But don't translate it to today's terms for practicing Jews, because
I'm going to translate it. If you look at Revelation in the Bible, Revelation 7 clearly says, lists all the tribes, it says where the 12,000 from each tribe, what they'll be listed from. It's right there right out of the Bible. So from there you can
say
you
have
Jewish blood in you or you're cysteine. From all the tribes of Israel, it even says, and so it's right there. The bottom line is what God is saying.
Right, but do you remember in the Bible how the tribes of Israel were scattered to all the corners of the earth? Our ancestors, yes, my ancestors were from these tribes and definitely, I'm sure, practicing Jews, just as Jesus was. However, we're not. I mean, if you want to get into semantics, yes, I am Jewish, but people were just asking, does he mean, like, it's only people who are practicing Jews?
Well, I'll be
Jews
really
today,
clear about the Bible.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. But I'll be clear. I don't mince words on the Bible. The Bible says they will have Jewish blood in them. So if you have Jewish blood in you, even a speck of it, then you could be part of that exact 144,000. You also can be part of 144,000 if you're part of the bride. There will be some of the bride that will assist the 144,000. There's also going to be some of the bride that will not assist the 144,000. We don't really know. Most people, I should say, no. In fact, to be honest with you, if this is a good thing for all the people in the chat room, if you want to have a partner, what God has been doing with a lot of people has been telling them that they're going to have a partner. A lot of you may know who your partner is as part of the 144,000 because you're going to be paired up in two. So if you want to be part of the 144,000, you should ask the Lord, and you should ask the Lord who your partner is, because I've had a friend of mine who had dreams of 144. He was told who his partner is. His partner had the same dreams. You know, so this is kind of cool stuff. So if you want to be part of 144, you know, you want to come back, ask God. Say, Lord, I want to help. Because the power that's going to be given is going to be pretty amazing. And the reason why
only God can tell you if you're a member of the 144. That's not something
true.
You can have
absolutely.
anyone else tell you, you know.
Absolutely.
It's not something that you even wonder, am I, like, it's a known. Like, he lets you know where...
I know that I'm not part
just,
of the...
You know.
Of 144.
Like, just,
yeah.
Right, whereas
Joe's
I know
right.
I am. I've known since I was age 6 or 7.
I know you are, too. I
know
that you are, and I know that, like, Judy is, and, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree.
But, I mean,
I know you are.
My point being, you know, myself...
Yes, yeah.
Please, go ahead. What's that?
Oh, no, I don't want to interrupt you. No, go ahead.
I just want other people just to add in, just because I don't want people to they're still typing and stumbled, I also want to let it be known that members of the 144 do not have to be practicing Jews. Like,
okay.
I never said practicing Jews. I said Jewish blood. The Bible says very clearly there will be Jewish blood in them. I never said practicing or Judaism. Judaism and Jewish these days are, you know, complete opposite ends of the spectrum sometimes. The tribe of Israel, whatever the tribe of Israel means, is whatever you will see the tribe of Israel as, that's what it is. That's what the Bible says it. But my intention of talking about the tribulation wasn't in to get into debate over the 144, because this is kind of throwing the focus off of what I want. I want to educate people about the tribulation. I don't want to spend, we could spend 5,000 years talking about Jewish blood.
Oh, no, you're doing a great job.
I don't want to talk about Jewish blood, because you got, we could argue about that for 5,000
really,
years. And we
exactly.
Could, you know, and kill each other over it in Israel. It's like, oh,
but,
I hate that.
Exactly. And again, this is all about ideas. The Lord wants us to have ideas, not beliefs, because just as Keith said,
yeah,
people kill each other over beliefs. What we discuss here is
crazy.
Our ideas, and Keith and I are just exchanging ideas, and it's over semantics, really. And that's,
yeah,
that's
Joe and I would
but
love,
again,
we this is stuff Joe and I could talk about forever, because we love this
right.
kind of stuff, but
Keith and
on
I,
the
I,
air,
Keith
we don't talk
actually
about
do.
It.
On the phone, him and this is our conversations on the phone. We'd love
we
to go deep in
forever.
The word and really get the translation, but yeah, again, on the air, not to take up the time, we just wanted to make the point that, you know, no, it's not, you know, all, you know, Jewish people don't think that, but yes,
yeah,
it is a bloodline. But that being said, Keith, please go on, because you were doing
I'm just trying to cover,
I
just
meant
it as a general term, because there's a lot of people in the RCC, they don't even know anything about tribulation, so I'm just kind of covering over a general...
Can I just ask
know, like,
one question?
Yeah, you're allowed one question, Pat. Go ahead.
Okay. No, not question. Aren't we all from one of the 12 tribes? Don't we all have Jewish blood in us? I know my tribe
I don't know.
Man.
Ask Joe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think we're all.
I don't
pretended.
Know a lot about that stuff.
You do. You very much do. Just like you know, originally all the
all
descendants were from Adam and Eve, and then all the descendants were David. Just
so
like
we would be.
Jesus,
we would be from one of those 12. Somebody said we are. Everyone is from one of those 12 tribes of Israel. We all are.
Well, everyone has. Yes, their bloodline. Their bloodline traces back to that.
Yeah. Yeah, just a comment. Go ahead. Carry
yeah.
on.
No, but that's super pertinent and right on. Thank you, Pat.
Yeah, that was good.
Again, there's no exclusivity or, you know, no one's special
no.
over anyone else but the Lord, And, like, I really want to make that point with this whole 144K. That's it. Like,
he's not a respecter
no one's more
of
special
persons.
Than anyone. He uses mm-hmm. different people in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone here has a mission.
And Keith, please continue, because I love how you're
mm-hmm.
digging deep into the book
no,
of Revelation.
Please continue.
Because that's what we should be doing.
Okay, so then let's talk about, we've got the two witnesses. The two witnesses, a lot of people think the two witnesses are going to be at the end of the Revelation. It's not. I've heard arguments on both sides. Again, the whole book of Revelation, you could spend 1,000 hours arguing with different things or debating different things. Some people argue, some debate, it's a lot. But I'm a firm believer in the pre-tribulation rapture, as most of us here in RCC are, only because of the fact that it's really clear that Revelation 3:10 says God will withhold you from the hour of trial, and the bride is no longer mentioned after Revelation 4, and then we're re-mentioned again in Revelation 19, riding on horses with Jesus in the second coming. So where'd the bride go? Bride's gone, okay. But the cool thing about the tribulation is just so awesome. Is that the whole thing covers the Jewish wedding. Like, the father, you have, the guy that's going to marry the wife, the roommate, he's going to say, go ask my father, because he knows. It's sort of like us asking the father about, we know when, you know, Jesus asking the father, when are we going to be raptured? I mean, it's so cool, the whole thing, and maybe he blows the shofar, and, you know, and they separated for 7 days, right, before they can consummate their marriage. Well, we're separated for 7 days, which is like a year, so 7 years in the tribulation. We're going to be up consummating our marriage with Jesus. And then after tribulation, so we're hidden away and protected, right? And then after the 7 days when the Jewish couple is released out into the public, they walk out in the public and just the same with us. Well, they also have a wedding banquet, right? We're going to have a wedding banquet. So, you know, when we go up to the rapture, we eat chicken legs and stuff, whatever. We have a good old time up there.
So, yeah, that's kind of what I was asking,
the chicken?
But I guess
you're asking
we
about
have
the chicken, Nick. Go ahead.
Love chicken.
No, or the whole general thing. Like we share that characteristics with the Jews. We share that belief. That's kind of what I was asking before. Correct. The whole bride and the whole that ritual
well, the Jews,
that the Jews have, we believe. Correct.
Well, no. Most Jews today do not believe in the rapture. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe. Just take the New Testament and rip it out of the Bible, and they don't believe that part of it. Okay, they believe the first five books, and that's it. You know, that's why it's a complicated and incredible thing that separates Judaism from Christianity. You know, you've got a lot of. It's just, there's a lot. You know, you've got the Jews today. One of the trends is that Jews are starting to come back to Jesus, and there's going to be a certain amount that will be saved before they come back, you know. But by and large, I would never say the Jews believe the same as us at all. In fact, one of the things the Jews are going to do, and it is biblical, is that they will sacrifice animals again, just like they did in the Old Testament times, and they need to have a red heifer, right? Well, you have to. Lots of cows have to be born before the perfect red heifer has been born, and they have tried for years, like 30, 40, 50 years, to get this perfect red heifer. Well, they finally got one, so they're all ready to go, and now they just need to have a temple to. And we know they're going to build that third temple again, and that's where the Antichrist is going to stand in the temple and claim that he's the Messiah, he's God. So right now they need to build that temple on top of the mosque, which is the Islam mosque there. So somehow, some way, that thing has to be destroyed before that third temple gets built. You know,
But also, so, Nick, everything that's written in the Old Testament, as they call it, or otherwise known as the Hebrew or Aramaic scriptures, that's the book of Genesis through the book of Malachi in the Bible. Then the rest is the Christian Greek scriptures, which is Matthew through Revelation, which, you know, is Jesus' life and so forth. But the Jews believe in a Messiah too. I just believe that they're waiting on Ezekiel, if I'm not mistaken. They're waiting on. But every religion is waiting on a Messiah.
It's true. And it's funny because Islam believes this is kind of a crazy fiasco, but it's the truth. They believe that their Messiah is hiding in the hills. This is what Iran believes. Their Messiah is hiding in the hills. He's in a cave. And his name is Mahdi, M-A-D-H-I. And they believe that he is going to, when he comes back, they have to start a world war to get him out of the cave. This is how crazy it is. They actually believe they need to start a world war to get Mahdi out of the darn cave.
Yes,
okay.
That's
when Mahdi comes out of the cave, he's going to kill Christians and Jesus. Okay, he's going to line up Jesus. He's going to kill Christians, and Jesus is going to confess that he's not God to him. Okay, this is the Mahdi stuff. Yeah. So, but it's very interesting because their Mahdi is going to rule the earth for 7 years. That's exactly what we consider the Antichrist.
Yes.
It's wild. It's the exact opposite of what
you
know.
Oh,
wow.
I've heard this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they're excited because he's going to kill Jews and Christians, and Jesus is going to confess that he really wasn't God all along and everything. Meantime, while they're slaughtering people, so you can see it. But they believe, this is why Iran has said at the UN, they made a speech to the UN, they said, we need to get Mahdi out of the cave, and we will start World War III to get him. I mean, they're confessors. They're excited about starting World War III. That's why they want to blow up Saudi Arabian oil tankers and their oil wells and all kinds of crazy stuff. And that's why they want to kill and destroy Israel, okay? So you can see.
In the bottom of the well.
Right. So a lot of it is, you know, so the Jews believe one thing. Every son they have, they believe is they're the Messiah. He's going to grow up, and, you know, he could be the Messiah. And then you've got Iran, Islam believing their Antichrist, our Antichrist is their Mahdi, their Messiah. And then we've got Jesus, our Lord, the true Messiah, who will come back and set the record straight. One of the things the book talks about in tribulation, though, is that many of those Islam nations will be wiped off the face of the earth by the time Jesus gets there. Israel's going to do some reckoning with the Gog Magog war. Is going to wipe the slate clean of the Islam religion and stuff, you know. Anyway, so you've got the two witnesses. They're going to, they'll be on earth. They will be saying, you know, repent. They're supposed to be on earth. I think 3.5 years. I'm not totally correct on that. I don't remember that exactly. It's a little fuzzy. Then
it
the Bible
is,
says
it's
that
3.5. It's 3.5.
Is it 3.5? Okay. Then the Bible says that the two witnesses will be killed. What's going to happen is they're going to be on TV all over the world because, you know, you can see things on TV right now all over the world. They're going to be on TV all over the world. Well, first, let me cover quickly. The rapture when we go out with a bang, there's going to, we're going to go out in a day, there's going to be a mass earthquake that's going to hit California, probably at 10.0, east coast of the U.S., and mass earthquakes around the world, mass disasters. All the lights are going to go out. When the TVs are turned back on, there's going to be one person on that screen, and he's going to say, I'm declaring martial law, and he's going to be the Antichrist. And everybody will be rounded up and sent to FEMA camps, which will be places around the country where they will be tortured or and forced to they'll be forced to take the mark of the beast, RFID chip, and then basically there's guillotines there, which we actually Obama already has a guillotine set up in these FEMA camp places around the country, just like the Bible says, their head will be cut off. The only way that they can get saved in the tribulation is if they're going to have to say they love the Lord, and they're going to have to be willing to be killed for it. So you're thinking, my gosh, why is the Lord so mean? Why is he doing this? Well, God's not mean. God's given you a chance to be raptured now. If you choose not to, then you have to really, you'll have to risk your life for it in the tribulation, okay? So during the tribulation, there'll be great disasters. The bride will be gone. The two witnesses will be on earth. Then the Antichrist is going to kill the two witnesses. He's going to come against them and kill them. The bodies are going to lay dead in the streets for three and a half days. It's for sure three, something. So I think it's 3 days. So then what's going to happen is God is going to have a loud voice. Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's 3 days. If you're talking about the fatal head wound, then that's 3 days. After 3 days.
No, not the fatal head wound. The witnesses, their bodies are going to lay on ground. They're going to be dead for, I think it's 3 days or 3.5 days.
Yeah, 3 days.
It's 3 days.
Yes,
okay.
Okay.
Okay. And Joe reminded me of an excellent point. Yes. Thank you for reminding me. Oh my gosh. The Antichrist is going to get a fatal. He's going to get shot in the head. He's going to die, and he's going to come back to life, and the world's going to say, "Oh my gosh, he's the true Messiah."
Yeah. It goes to the scripture where Jesus gets bruised in the heel, and he bruises the Antichrist in the head. So, yeah, like,
there
you could have, like, a something. Like, I'm thinking you can get shot in the head and then come back to life 3 days later and be like, see, I'm superhuman. Like, that's what I think.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
I think
really
exactly.
So,
we don't know. I don't think, Joe, when does that happen? I don't remember when that happened. Is that at the start? Or I think it's at the start of the chat. Do you remember?
I'm sorry, what is this again?
That gives them...
The head wound, in the book of Revelation,
talking about the head wound, it's the start of the tribulation,
mm-hmm.
because that's what gives him the power. Because when he comes back, he's going to declare himself God when he comes back. He's going to say, I died for three days. He's going to say, see, I died for 3 days, and now I rose. I am the Messiah, and he's going to go sit in the temple. But again, I don't think the temple is necessarily in Jerusalem.
Where else would it be?
Okay, don't bring that up, Joe. We don't want to spend hours talking about it.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's for another
That's another five-hour discussion.
continue with what you're...
No, Joe's right. It could be a... Now, there are some Christians out there who replace, which I totally disagree with. They replace the Jews with the bride, and they replace Israel with the bride, and they replace the third temple with the bride, and everything's the bride. You know, they say there is no third temple, it's actually the bride. It's not, it's false. It's called replacement theology. It's false doctrine. So, you know, the Bible is clear on there's groups. It's not going to be, you know. One of the things that the Lord has shared with me is there's five different kinds. A lot of people think there's just the bride and then there's the sinners. The Lord has told me there's five different groups dealing with the rapture. That's why there may be multiple raptures, you know, because, for instance, people go, well, Keith, it's not biblical that there's more than one rapture. It sure is, because the 144,000 will not die. What they're going to do is they're going to go out, save souls, do mass miracles during in the middle of these disasters. They'll grab somebody out of a car that explodes, and nothing will happen to them. And then what's going to happen is they're going to go to a place in the mountains, what's called Petra. And it's so interesting because even with our modern weaponry, they're not going to be able to get into this place because it's a place where it only fits the size of your body. It's between two huge rocks, and you can walk. You can kind of squeeze through it. It's carved out of a mountain. It's beautiful. And they're going to go squeeze through that thing and go hide protected in this little carved out area called Petra that's in it's in Jerusalem somewhere around there. I think it's east of it. But so they're going to be protected. But then they're going to be raptured because they're not going to die. So we do know that there is going to be multiple raptures. But the Lord has shared with me there's five groups. There's like you've got the bride. You've got the sinners. You've got the bride. The lukewarm Christians going through the tribulation, you've got the Jews, you know, you've got the 144,000. There's like a lot of different, you know, groups going on there. So it's not just, you know, one group or whatever. And that's why it could be multiple rapture.
I pulled up that scripture for your Revelation starting in chapter 7, and I saw the four angels standing upon the four corners of the earth, holding tight the four winds of the earth, that no wind may blow upon the earth until, or the sea or any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from heavens, having the seal of the living God, and he cried in a loud voice to the four angels whom gathered, you know, holding the winds, holding back this great destruction that's about to happen, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until after we have sealed the slaves of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 are sealed. Then it says the whole tribe, and then it says, now that's just part of it. Then it goes on to say, after those things I saw to say, look, a great crowd, which no man was able to number out of all nations, all tribes, all peoples, all tongues, standing before the throne as the Lamb dressed in white robes, just like the 144K, with palm branches in their hands. That's what's saying people are going to be raptured from all tribes, all tongues, just all everything from all around the world. Like, it says it right there in Scripture. And then they're saying, you know, we owe our salvation to the true God, our Creator, you know, and to the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ.
I love that.
And praise God, indeed.
That's such a power. You reach Revelation, you can just feel the power in those verses. My gosh. But
oh, yeah.
There's definitely different groups, because there's going to be some lukewarm Christians that will go through tribulation. They ain't going to be raptured. There's going to be a lot of Christians
This is speaking of the rapture. Then moving on to Revelation 8, he opens another seal, and it's going to be so bad that a silence occurred in heaven for about a half hour. All of heaven.
Yes.
Is silent for a half hour, just there being like, uh-oh.
And there's about
seven trumpets sound, and then it's on after that.
Yeah, this is controversial too, because Urban Baxter, who's been involved in, he's a popular evangelist, but he studies Revelation forever, and he claims a lot of the seals have already been completed. That's up for negotiation, but I personally believe that most of the seals have already been completed. I think he has a really interesting thing. But besides that, there's seven seals, seven trumpets, and then seven bowls in the tribulation. These are basically, pestilences and different. There's the four horsemen, too. One's, like, representing famine. One's representing war. One's representing death. So there's different...
and the other one's,
so
the other one's pestilence.
Like,
that's back in chapters 5 and 6.
Yeah, those are the ones that will be released
that
from
happens,
the earth.
But that, you know, as you said before, it all goes in order. That was in chapter 5 and 6 of the four horsemen, and describes what's going on. First 3.5 years of the tribulation, and then there's the rapture. Chapter 7, and then chapter 8.
And the first three and a half years is like the first three and a half years is called the birthing pains, and the reason why they call that is, like, in other words, things get worse and worse and worse and worse, like a baby about ready to be born. And then when the baby's born, that's the great tribulation, which is that, like Joe was just mentioned, that second three and a half years. First three and a half is supposed to be
those seals have already been broken, like the four horsemen coming back with the seal, everything. The rapture is actually seal number 5. That's the rapture.
Yeah.
We're waiting on seal number 5. That's the whole event of seal number 5. Then there's seal number 6, the tribulation, and then seal number 7, where, you know, God
himself. The seventh seal is the first trumpet, I think. I think it starts, the first
seven trumpets blow, seven rings blow.
And then the bowls, and those are even worse. It just gets worse and worse and worse. Boy, believe it or not, there are actually going to be people that will, this sounds really crazy, but it'll be so insane. One-third of the world, I think it's like, what is it, one-fourth of the world will be killed at first, and then I think it's another one-third. So
it goes in like thirds, like you said, like, but it's, I mean, horrible things. And it says right here, like, you know, it says another angel blew, and then a second angel blew, and a trumpet,
horrible.
And something, it goes, and again, John didn't know exactly what he was seeing, so he just wrote down what he described. So he said, and a second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain, this is right out of the Bible what I'm reading, burning with fire was hurled into the sea.
Wow.
Now, that sounds to me like a meteor, which is going to cause that great tidal wave.
Absolutely.
You know, that, you know.
Yep. It does talk about meteors
just,
in there, too. Stars falling from the sky.
Just as we were saying, check this out. I love when God does this. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures that were in the sea died, and a third of the people on land died, and a third of the boats were wrecked. Everything's in thirds. And
nothing going to be left after. I mean, believe it or not, though, what's so shocking is there will be people that will make it through the entire tribulation. And then shockingly, they will. And then so we get raptured. We come back in the second coming with Jesus and our horses. So we're going to be up in heaven, learn how to ride horseback. Pat, we're going to teach you real good how to ride your horse up there, honey. And I can ride, honey. it'll be great. We'll come back. We'll come back with Jesus. Jesus is going to step on the Mount of Olives, and it'll divide in two with an earthquake. And then he will defeat the final armies that are coming. I think China's, the Euphrates is going to dry up, which is interesting because it's drying up right now. And then China's going to cross over. There'll be an electricity. So China's going to cross over on horseback and try to come against Israel. All the earth will at that point. And then Jesus will save them. And they thought Jesus was on a little donkey in the past. They're going to say it was different Jesus this time. He will come with great power. In fact, when we get raptured, there's a great sound of lightning across the world that it'll be piercing to every ear and everybody will know. So Jesus will come back, and then there's going to be a 1,000-year millennium. It's interesting because the world has been around for almost, 6,000 years. We're going to start the 7,000th year, and that's when the millennium will start. And just so happens that the rapture is about ready to happen. We have 7 billion people on earth, and Israel has almost 7 million people. So everything is sevens for God and sixes for the enemy. And that's why the mark of the beast is 666, and that will be the RFID chip in people's hands. So at the end of this, again, Jesus comes back with us. He sets up his 1,000-year millennium kingdom on earth. So he's basically going to show the earth how to live in peace, right? Mm-hmm. And people will live for hundreds and hundreds of years again. And some of those people that went through the tribulation, God knows how they did that thing, but they made it through all the disasters, they'll have babies and start over again. Hello.
Yeah.
We'll be like getting married. And
sounds
we,
good.
Though, the Bible talks about, though, we will not be affected by this. We're not going to be affected by the second death. So in other words, thank God for that one. So in other words, the way the Bible works is you're only judged one time, okay? So this is the reason why the two witnesses, Elijah and, who's the second witness, Pat? I just lost it off my tip of my tongue. Elijah and
Enoch.
The reason why Elijah and Enoch are able to come back is because, see, they never were judged. When you die and you stand before your judgment, then you go to heaven, you can't come back, okay? But if you have not been judged, in other words, you were raptured, you can come back. Enoch and Elijah were raptured. They can come back. And that's why they're going to be, it'll be the spirit of those two. And that's why they're going to be the two witnesses on earth. But see, because we're getting raptured, we can't come back and have babies and start families with the 1,000-year millennium reign. We are going to be judged. We're going to be in heaven. We're not going to mix in. We might be able to come visit, but we will not be mixing in and marrying these people on earth that made it through the tribulation or these people that are still hanging out. We will not be having babies with them and doing any of that. We'll be separated from that as well. They will continue on because they will be, which is really crazy. For me, I think, oh, Lord, why are you going to do it all again? But they're going to go on for the 1,000 years, and at the end of that, I know, oh, my gosh, that's the part I don't understand. Lord and I are going to have to long talk about that one. But at the end of that 1,000 years, then the enemy is going to be released again, and he's going to come against them, and then he's going to, some of them could end up in hell because they're going to be judged at the white throne judgment, that final judgment. But we won't be judged at that because we already died and we're raptured. We were already judged, raptured. So that's what we talked about. We won't be affected by that second death. So it is kind of a long haul to be, it'll be cast. Then at that point, the thing will be cast into the fire.
That's all spot on. I love this. You and I are going to have to make a video. I'm going to make my video debut with you later because I love the Book of Revelation.
It'll be fun, Joe.
And, like, studying
it. I know. I'd love to talk to you about it, Joe.
Like, after the show, I just want to, like, talk to you more. Because about that 1,000 years, and again, like, I'm just telling you what I'm reading, And I think we should also go back and read about all the what you were saying about the angels blowing the trumpets. I kept on reading on as you were talking, and it just like says what's going to happen. It's amazing. Everyone should check out Revelation. You know, I don't know where to even start, but we're talking about chapter 7 through 9. What's up, Nikki?
I just want to thank you for, you know, throwing out all this education. I just want to let you know that I'm in a spot now where I'm being drawn closer to God. Everything that you say obviously makes sense, and it, you know what I mean? There's no disputing it. It's so spot on for me, and I just want to thank you for kind of not answering my questions, but just making me understand everything a lot more, because it just is making my life a whole lot better being here and hearing all this, and the signs are there, you know what I mean? Like, something's going to happen. You're going to be, you know what I mean? It's just, you can't dispute it, so...
Definitely. That's the beauty of the truth, is when you hear it, it's just, you know it's the truth, and for some reason you don't question it, you just don't even, and even if you try, you're like, no, it's still, that's the truth. And also I want to point out, like, people are like, oh, don't start, like, Keith and I are not arguing at all. Back in the day, in the temple, people like Keith and I would be in a part of the temple, and that's all we do all day is discuss scriptures, and that's all we do. We're just discussing them and giving our own interpretations. And that's exactly what God wants. Like, it's all, sharing your interpretations with your brothers and sisters and figuring out the puzzle together. And, you know, most of what I've learned, it's been with conversations with people like Keith and going really deep. And, you know, I implore all of you just to get really deep. I mean, right now, Revelations is unfolding before us.
It's like, great stuff.
I know when you're reading certain parts of the Bible and it's so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so, and it's like, all right.
Yeah.
Revelation
exactly.
is happening. Like, it is literally happening. You know, and it's...
Yeah,
that's
right.
We'll
have another... That's kind of what I was saying, essentially, you know.
We'll have another show on all this. Like Joe said, we will definitely have another show on, like, just kind of reading... Like the trumpets and the bowls and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
So much stuff. But the thing is, you know, for me, I always tell the Lord every day, Lord, there's so much stuff that has to happen. So we got to get out of here for rapture us. Because we're the first to start. Like when we get raptured, it starts the domino effect. Okay, so we have to get going ASAP to get out of here. Mm-hmm. The whole thing can start. So... this is why it's so important to be included in the rapture and to want to be in the rapture and to, you know, be close to the Lord, because you don't want to go through the 7 years. I've had so many people email me on YouTube, you know, over the couple of years for help. Keith, you know, I love my husband and blah, 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 blah. I love my friend, blah, 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 blah. I think it'll be okay. I mean, how bad do you think it'll be in the tribulation? I mean, all they're going to do is get their head cut off, right? So this should be okay if they go through that, right? I'm like, honey, ain't going to be that easy. It is not, you don't just line up 2 seconds. Yeah. What I tell people is right now, think about how the enemy attacks your thoughts with sinful things and just things of the world and blah, blah, blah. The enemy attacks us like crazy, 24 hours a day, right? The bride's in the mattress.
Oh, yes.
Now, can you imagine if you didn't have the Holy Spirit on the other side trying to balance you? Well, that's what it'll be like in the tribulation. The Holy Spirit is, when we go up to heaven, the Holy Spirit's inside of us. The Holy Spirit is removed from the face of the earth. And the Bible says, He will not be revealed. Who's he? He's talking about the Antichrist. Will not be revealed to the world until we are removed. The Holy Spirit, which is in us, is removed from the earth. Then the world. Then he will declare. Everyone will know who he is. So when you're on earth thinking that you can just go through the tribulation, it ain't gonna be that easy, because you'll be dealing with demons torturing you and horrible things, and you won't have the willpower so much as you think you'll have. Like now, where you've got the Holy Spirit on your side, you're gonna be like. It's going to be a rough road. Okay, so some people have emailed me like,
So I guess another question for me would be, like, how the best way for one to go upon, like, every day representing Christ the best they can, you know, what they do every day and things that you can do to become closer to Christ and, You know what I mean? I don't know.
Ask God what you can do for him every day. Do you want to bear fruit? God, what can I do for you today? He will definitely show you. And pray and read your Bible. And that's it. Listen to the Holy Spirit. The rest, he'll guide you. If you say, God, what can I do for you today? He'll put in your mind when you're talking to someone to help them or talk to them or something. He'll help you. If you do that, you'll advance his kingdom, and you'll be doing just fine and dandy. You'll be in prayer. You got to read your Bible,
but,
though. You want to read your Bible.
But,
I'm not big on that.
You know, yeah, definitely. But also, I mean, I wanna lovingly debate with always with you, Keith, because this is what you and I do. There's so many people who have never seen the word and are going to be part of the bride. And,
absolutely.
And
we
are
still
also
reading the word.
Now in
the
these last, oh, I agree, and I agree. You got to realize I've read the word so much. Every translation I get a hold of, I love
I know.
It. Like, you know, love it.
I'm talking about the newbies out there that just came to Christ. You know,
right? But I don't want them to think, you know, is salvation.
I push it though.
I do push it
because I think it's important.
Right, but,
mm-hmm.
but to some people who were raised like in religion, having the Bible, and I don't mean to be crass,
yeah.
but I'm going to word it the way I'm wording it, shoved up their ass and like. And used
yes,
and manipulated, and people taking the gospel and manipulating it to for their own selfish wants and needs and desires, and a lot of people have been really turned off to that. You don't need the Bible
for salvation.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about that.
All you need is Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. No.
And before
do,
you
but,
read
and,
scripture,
and,
remember
and,
the.
And I love it. My favorite thing to do, Keith, is get in the Bible and get on the phone with you and get Keith and be like, "What do you think he meant by this? What do you think he meant by that?" But for some people, aren't like you and I. And I know these people, and I've talked with them, and I was raised for the first part of my life until I was like 15. I had my own money, so I was like, "I'm outie because you're all nuts." Because I was raised like very strict.
He's specifically addressing me, by the way. I was like raised super hardcore Roman Catholic, I just got detested by the whole thing, to be honest.
I understand.
With you.
Nick,
so
Nick, not
really
only you,
he's saying this for me.
I appreciate that, but I'm also saying it for me. I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. I watched them. I was raised Baptist.
My parents
read
the word.
I watched
every day, so I understand.
Raised up families, and I was like, it turned me off from the Bible.
I understand.
You know, I definitely learned the Bible.
I know.
But I've always made it a point in my ministry to let people, you know, if they're not feeling the Bible, then that's cool. You do not need the Bible for salvation. You just
I do push the Bible.
And all,
this is my thing.
And I'm with you. I enjoy it. And I'm with you. It's my thing, too. Like, you and I share that, and a lot of us do. But for a lot of people, it's sour to them.
I know, but for me, I don't.
That doesn't mean I love hearing about it.
You know what I mean? It's referencing it.
I know, but remember,
the
Bible says that the Word was God, it is God, it is with God. So, to me, you know, you have your spirit. And your spirit is either going to get renewed. Every day your spirit's going to get renewed with something. It's going to get. If you listen to Madonna all day, you're going to be talking about Madonna out of your mouth. So your spirit is going to be renewed. Well, in the world, the people in the world are getting their spirit renewed with what? Pop culture, movies, songs, and all that stuff, right? So we have to renew ourselves with what? God. Well, how do we renew ourselves with God? Well, we can pray. But when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit is in the Bible. It's in those words. And it'll renew your spirit with God's spirit and push you right in line with the Holy Spirit. And it's the sword of spirit. So it's very important to me to,
definitely.
I don't care where you read it or whatever. You can read any part of the Bible you want. Just read something and whatever God guides you to do, that's fine. I'm just saying, I think it's important every day to read it because it'll align your spirit, especially in these end times when we get attacked by the enemy left and right. It keeps you in line with the Holy Spirit. I know that there's a couple people on YouTube and they were way into the Bible. And they were part of the YouTube channels, and they started talking to other people. And then they started saying they took their Bibles and they ripped them up because they said they didn't believe, they felt we don't need the Bible. And then they started saying the Bible is 666, and it started to grow into this huge thing. And there's these people on YouTube that are preaching that the Bible is 666 and it's the mark of the beast. And now that they're not in the Bible, they're not hearing God like they should. So I always say, you know, Jesus left his name and they left the Bible. So read your Bible, pray. If you read your Bible every day, I don't care where you read it, whatever you want to do, and you pray, and you ask God what I can do for you today, you won't go wrong. You know, and we live in some tough times. So I'm just saying that we've got the enemy battling us 24 hours a day, okay? It's hardcore. I notice it's much worse than last year, the enemy coming against us. So your Bible is going to help you. It's going to comfort you, you know.
put on Ephesians 2, put on the helmet and the breastplate to ward off the darts. And also, before
that,
you read scripture.
Explain to that what that is. Explain to people what that is.
Oh, in Ephesians, it's putting on the armor of God to ward off the darts of the enemy. There's the helmet, the breastplate, the boots, the girdle,
the sword.
Yeah, and by putting that on, you know, you're covered with the right with God's protection, because it's the
armor.
Word of God. It's a I don't have the Bible. I don't have
the armor of God. Yeah,
armor. It's the armor of God, and it wards off the darts of the enemy. Also, when you before you read the Bible, just a little prayer to the Holy Spirit, I think, is urgent, very, very much to do. Holy Spirit, help me to understand what I'm reading, how this applies to truth of your word, and also how I apply it to my life, you know. Very, very important to pray to the Holy Spirit for anything.
That's a good point, Pat. Because in my walk, again, I used to be like, oh, I don't know, and now I'm a Bible lover, like a scholar, like just eat it up. I go to bed every night
listening
to
a different book of
the Bible.
Yeah,
but
at the age of 20.
Helped, you know, but I feel like God has now shown me how to interpret it and understand it. And that's why it just it pains me to see people get stumbled by it. And I don't want that to happen. If that happens, I'd rather they put it down, go walk in the woods, and just talk to God one-on-one.
Exactly.
Why do you need a book when you can just talk to him one-on-one? But this, I'm not saying, I love the Bible, but at the same time, you don't need it to for God.
Well, his instruction is in there also for us to grow and learn be disciples. Everything. There's a lot in there that'll help us in our walk with God to be better, you know. But total sincerity always with the Lord. But when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit with the prayer meeting, one of the greatest things I had a hunger for Scripture like you wouldn't believe. Beside all the love songs coming on, I felt like God was wooing and, you know, cooing, you know, pursuing me. That was a beautiful thing also. But the hunger for Scripture, Scripture. Yeah, and that was the Holy Spirit.
When the Lord brought me back 3 years ago, He started giving me visions. I had so many visions every day, and I was way out of, my parents read the Bible against me as a Baptist, so I hated the Bible and nothing to do with it. And 3 years ago, the Lord brought me back, and I just started seeing visions of the rapture and verses that I never, remember reading for 20 or 30 years since I was a kid.
Wow.
So, and then I started delving. Yeah, he'd say, I grabbed the Bible and started looking, and then the visions came, and then all this stuff it was just left and right. And then it was all about the rapture. And then it was like one day he said, I'm going to download the Bible into your mind. And I says, all right, Lord. And he just downloaded it. And from then on that, I just knew the verses. I just knew.
That's beautiful.
And it's amazing to me because I'm like, Lord, I remember reading that verse, but somehow I know that verse. Weird. Okay, I know it.
But it makes you a good teacher for the rest of us.
Yeah. And I love, and like Pat said, when you read it, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Pat had a great point. So when you read the Bible, if you don't understand it, the Holy Spirit's going to explain to you and your mind and your feelings what that verse means. And Pat could read one verse, Joe could read another verse, and Nick could read another verse, and we could all read the same verse and get something different from it.
It's how he's going to put it into you for what you need or what you, you know, he'll, loving God is individualized. No two, it's like snowflakes or fingerprints. No two have the same relationship with him. Everyone has their own way, you know. So it applies you to you individually.
Guys,
very
individually. I hate to interrupt, but the only thing that takes precedence over, you know, talking about the Bible, which is my most favorite thing to do, is our brother Kenneth's wife tomorrow is going to be going in to the hospital for surgery at 6:30 in the morning.
Wow.
So if we could maybe offer
up
prayers.
You're going tomorrow?
No. It's not me. Our brother Ken, Kenneth Lachlan.
Let's pray for him.
So
you want to lead the prayer?
Can you please do that?
Lord Jesus, we've come to just trust you completely, and we know that you give us the peace of your presence and that you are in control. So we offer up Ken's wife to you. You are going to be with her. You are going to hold her. We trust you. You are going to grant healing. You just wonderful things are going to happen. We bless and praise you right now, Jesus, for what you are going to do for her to get her well and go on having a beautiful life in you. And, Lord, we trust you. You're the great healer. By your stripes we are healed. So we claim healing. We claim peace in this whole situation. In thy name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Yes, Lord, we pray for Ken's wife. Lord, we hold her up. We ask, Lord, that you, in Jesus' name, we cast out all anxiety out of her mind and stress. And we, Lord, we just comfort her, Jesus. Be with her. Hold her hand. Allow her to see visions of you, Lord, and dreams of you while she's in surgery. Allow her to go to heaven for a while and see great grandeur things, Lord. Show her joy and happiness and love. And allow her to completely, when she comes back, and we agree in Jesus' name, Lord, that she's completely be restored. Jesus, heal her up quickly. Make this to be easy, smooth, and give her great peace through this whole thing. And we know, we're confident, and we believe that this will happen. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Mm. Definitely.
Amen.
You want another reading? Yeah, go ahead.
I would love to. Let me just welcome on Leah.
Oh, sure.
I unmuted
Hi.
During the great Bible debate. I don't know if she's even around her phone
you,
right
Leah.
Now.
Hi.
But, yeah, just
Hi,
to
Leah.
Love
it was
good.
Hi,
Leah.
Love
you, Leah.
Love you guys.
How you doing?
How you doing today, Leah?
I thought the whole Revelation talk and the Bible debate was really good.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
Oh, good.
We only touched, like, the scratch of the surface. You know what I mean? We could, like, boy, man, that thing that could go on for 100 years.
Well,
yeah, we're
going to
go deeper.
For us. Yeah.
Yeah, Keith, I really want to do a video with you on Revelations. It's going to take, like, 50 videos, so.
But you're teaching someone.
Series.
You're teaching someone. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm calling you after the show. It'd be so fun for us. Like, honestly.
Oh, man, that'd be fun.
But, all right, now that we welcome Leah on, Leah, please add it, you know, talk anytime. You're unmuted.
Please.
It's so nice to have you.
Amen.
Leah, what's going down? What's shaking? What's up?
Hello?
Leah?
Nothing really. I'm just kind of going through some like, paperwork and things. Because I think it was, I guess, randomly, I was with my husband, like, last week, we were walking down the street, and we ran into these Mormon missionaries.
Oh, yeah.
And, my husband is, he's not, like, a Christian like I am or anything like that, so he's not really, like, one who I would claim and be like, oh, he's, like, saved or anything like that. He so is undecided. And so we're, like, walking, and then, you know, the guys are talking and being, like, really friendly. And then my husband, like, out of the blue is, like, just strangely super friendly and then, like, gives him our address and tells him, like, to stop by our house at any time. And I was, like, serious. and then so, like, Saturday during the morning show, they, like, you know, they came over. And, you know, it was like three of them, and we just chatted. And then they left their little thing, and they were like, oh, can we come back and talk with you about our message? So they're going to come back to my house, tomorrow night. And so I was reading through their little materials, because I was like, well, I have some questions for you guys. And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever you want to talk about. And I was just kind of like talking and, you know, like,
be
talking
careful.
With the Lord and see where he wants to lead me. No, I'm not. Like trying to convert to a Mormon or anything like that.
But you can
I mean.
Witness to them, honey. You can
witness
to them.
Exactly, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, where does it lead me to?
Because my aunt
did
the same thing.
To them, because he brought them in my path for a reason. Because it was just so strange that my husband would even do that. So I knew
Wow.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So kind of like
the Holy Spirit will give you a good witnessing.
Yeah, that
Definitely.
Was really what I wanted to know. Like, you know, just sitting there talking, and I'm like, oh, what should I say, Lord? I have no idea, because I've never done anything like that before.
Yeah, but they have strange beliefs.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I was, like, reading something about some spirit babies, and I was like, wait.
Be careful.
Yeah, you have to know. You got to really know your Bible. You got to know your walk and your faith. I don't suggest any new Christians or any Christians that are not real strong in the Bible to even go against anyone, like, you know, talk to those people, because you have to know your stuff, because they can twist your mind in all kinds of places.
Exactly.
And, you know, you, next thing you know, you're in a, not me, but some people end up in a tailspin not knowing what they believe after that. So, you know, best thing to do is just stay away from those people and don't get into involved conversations with them if you don't really feel led to or know your stuff.
Right.
They'll just cause confusion in your mind. So.
But also,
it's like,
also,
don't answer the
Lord,
door. Don't answer the door.
Yeah. But also, you know, as the Lord said, and that's so true, Keith, but to add on, as the Lord said, you know, we know his voice and he knows ours. Like, it's always, we can always, he told us to discern, we always should bring everything to him. Like, whenever I question something, I'm like, Lord, what's up? And he tells me. It's not like, you know, waiting for a sign, confirmation. No, Joe, this is what's up. And
yeah, that's got it.
That really helped me out. I know it sounds like so simple to say, but
it's
really
simple.
Hard to apply. But Leah, once you actually start applying it and doing it, it's like, wow, I haven't been doing this all along. It's just like, this is the way to go.
God wants you to keep it simple. God wants you to keep it simple. Just for the moment you have.
Yeah, but it's definitely... But, yeah, I mean, I've been through the same thing where people, you know, especially when I was younger, and that's why, when I was younger, kind of, like, got away from the Bible because people were twisting it, and I was just like, what? You know, but now it's love it again. Like, he brought me back
to it. Yeah, that's great.
Gives me a whole new understanding.
Beautiful.
But, yeah, it's all about doing it with him, because without him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Me personally, yes. I'm just lost, like, completely
exactly.
lost.
Exactly.
Aren't
we all? Aren't we all? Without him, we're all lost. Totally lost. Yeah.
Pat, you have a nice word.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to. Yes. Bonnie said, this is from the Lord. It said, the enemy's plan is great deception. Listen to my words only, my daughter. Don't listen to the voice of the world. I will be leading you in ways you know not of. I will be imparting to you knowledge and wisdom you know not of. I will be strengthening you in your faith and your love for others. And, of course, he's talking to all of us. I will be equipping all my children for these coming days. You will not be walking blindly into these times, for I will not allow it. I am your provider, and I provide all the needs of my children. All my faithful children will require much wisdom in the coming days. It is imperative that you stay close to me and listen for my words to you, to keep you on the path I have for you. You have read much of what is coming on the earth soon, my daughter, and you will not be ill-equipped. Stay focused on me and on my word to bring you through. Remember that the plan of the enemy is great deception that could fool even the elect if they are not centered in me. Only those who are centered in me and in my love will come through these times. As I have told you in the past, there is to be a short span of darkness you need to walk through before I come for my bride. Fear not, all will be provided for you. Just believe and trust in me, your Lord and Savior. And then there's some Bible reading, so you want me I'll read one, because that's... on your own, you can read Thessalonians 2, 1 to 12, because it's kind of long. But I'll read James 1, 2 to 8. My brethren, oh, this is good, though. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And then, of course, it has the Thessalonian... But I'll just read one part of this. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So pretty strong words, but... Again, we have faith that when people see how the world is after the bride leaves, they're going to cry out to God for salvation, because they're not going to know what's happening to them. They're going to be scared to death. scared to death.
It's so funny. A few months ago, I bought a bunch of Bibles and, like, stashed them. And, again, this is when I was just getting back into it. I was like, wow, I'm, like, so transformed. But, you know, last night I was in the book of James, and that's a right on, Pat. Like, you guys should just start at the beginning. Like, James, you know, chapter 1, verse 12. Like, I wrote it down. I liked it so much. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation.
Yes.
For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them.
Mm-hmm.
Hath promised them that love him. That's James 1:12.
Right. Well, this was James 1:2-8. Prophecy.
I listened to the whole book of James last night, and like you know, you can pull it up on YouTube and just listen book by book. And
mm-hmm.
just I enjoy James. I was like, oh, I haven't listened to this in a while. I read it in a while.
I love Romans. I love Romans chapter 12.
Romans is great.
Romans chapter 12 is great. It's full of instruction. You know how to love God.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's excellent. I think that's about my favorite book is James. Of course, the one on love, you know, love isn't, all the things love is and love isn't. That's Corinthians.
Oh, we should go around on the phone. What's your favorite book of the Bible, Pat?
I love Corinthians and I love Romans because it's just when I read Romans, it like hit me. Like hit me right in the head. Like wow, this is what I have to do.
Like it's a letter to us. Like we're the Romans, right? Like whenever I read Romans, it's like the same thing. I'm like this. I need to be paying attention to this.
Exactly.
Like,
here's how to act. Here's how to love Jesus more. Right in your face.
Yeah. Yeah. Book
love
of
it.
Romans is great. Yeah. Absolutely love that.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Keith?
My favorite book is Psalms. I just, I don't know. I guess when
I go
to the Bible, I always go to the Psalms because then I know.
Oh, they're wonderful.
I just like the praise in there.
Wonderful.
I just start reading them and
oh,
I just feel better.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I'm praising God and I'm feeling better. It's just, I love Psalms. It just speaks to me so much.
Yeah.
The book of Psalms is amazing. The book of Psalms is all songs to God. The book is called the Songs of Psalms. And
mm-hmm.
they're the songs of King Psalms and other people
to
our Lord. It's such
beautiful.
An amazing book, and such it's that's reading that is praising God. Just reading that those songs aloud, those psalms or songs aloud. You know, my favorite book is Revelation, but I think we made that clear
mm-hmm.
earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Who else is on the line? Leah, are you still on the line? Do you have a favorite book of the Bible? Anyone else on the line wanted? I'm sorry.
My favorite book is Hosea.
Isaiah, right on.
Hosea. No, not Isaiah, Hosea.
Oh, that's what I'm going to sing tonight. Come back to me. I'm going to sing that tonight to you guys.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yes, that's beautiful.
Good. Book of Daniel is also really
Yes, awesome,
you know,
awesome.
Amazing.
Yes, it
absolutely
is.
Absolutely amazing.
And the bride's favorite book is the Song of Solomon.
Say that again.
Amen. Song of Solomon. Song of Songs.
You know,
that's the most favorite.
And also
letter.
Something which I never even read until, you know, like a year ago because I thought it'd be like sacrilegious. But I was like, and checked out the book of Enoch, which is not in the 66 books of the Bible that we have. You know, there's actually 77 books. And my mother randomly has this super old book, like the Lost Books of the Bible. And she's like, oh, yeah, I got this. And I was like 20. I was like, oh, give me that. And it's amazing. Like Enoch was the father of Methuselah. Who was, you know, the oldest living man ever was Methuselah, and Enoch is the book of Enoch is a letter from Enoch to his son Methuselah, and Enoch was a friend of God, so he was taken up to heaven and saw all these wonders, everything that happened, saw everything that's going to happen, so he wrote his son a letter of not only all these wonders but how to live a righteous, correct way to please, you know, the true creator. And, it was just amazing. I was like, why isn't this in the Bible? And I was like, oh, yeah, King James Version. Someone translated it for some reason. Yeah,
and the other book is Jasper. That's the whole story of Abraham and Sarah. I mean, you cry to read that book. Absolutely,
yeah.
Cry at what they went through.
A
it
lot
goes
more.
In great detail. Jasper on Abraham and Sarah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It's
there's
beautiful.
A lot more. There's originally 77. You know, and God does everything in threes and sevens. That's not a secret. It's all over the Bible again, before in Revelation, with the third and the third and the third and the seven angels and the seven seals. Everything's threes and sevens. You know, Jesus is 33 when he's crucified. Everything is threes and sevens. But that being said, there's originally 77 books of the Bible.
Yeah,
you gotta realize, and that's why before it's like, you know, the Bible because people, a lot of places don't have it, but a lot of places they only have certain parts of it, and in parts of Africa, the most important book to those Christians is the Book of Enoch. It is not only part of their gospel, but it is the basis of their gospel. And these are godly; these are our brothers. These are our brothers. You know, they're from another tribe. And that's how they, draw close, and that's their word. So, again, it goes a lot deeper. That's why, again, the Bible, yes, dive in.
That's another debate, too. That's another debate I have with you, Joe. We'll debate that one later. I don't like the books that are not in the Bible we have. I've read all that stuff. I'm a little iffy on. I wouldn't recommend them to new Christians or anything like that.
New ones.
No, I personally don't like those books that are not in the Bible, Enoch and some of those. I read them. I don't know. It's just my thing. I just stick with the Bible.
Okay, that's just your thing. Sure,
Yeah, I don't discern a lot of...
Yeah.
I discern some things that are not truthful and some of that, too, as well. Some of it can be a little New Agey, too. But as a rule, I never would tell a Christian that was trying to mature their walk to read Enoch. But Joe's obviously mature in Christ, and he can, and Pat. And so, there's something we can sit around the table and talk about for sure. But I wouldn't recommend everybody in the chat room to go grab the Book of Enoch and start reading it. Personally, no. But
no problem.
That's why there are so many books to the Bible, and that's why Pat and I love Romans, because it feels like a letter to us. God works with everyone
it's a how-to.
In different ways.
Right,
for us. But the Book of Enoch, the Book of Enoch to them is kind of a how-to to them. Whatever gets anyone close to God. If you're reading the New York Times and praying to God, God bless you. At this point in time, in the last days, anything it takes. Anything it takes. But, Keith, I hear what you're saying, girl. I've heard that, my mother was even like, I don't know about this, because she's very, very staunch, very, very all about it. Lives the letter of the Bible, lives it. But, so I've heard both sides. But, again, it's an own personal discernment thing, and I definitely enjoyed them very much so, actually. Enoch is
definitely an interesting read. Enoch's book is extremely interesting read, for sure. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah.
We have 5 minutes, guys.
I was just about to say that. Wow.
Yeah.
Why don't you sing a song to us, baby?
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm here. She was talking about Hosea. So this is the song, the words in song for that. Let's see. A little raspy, but here we go. Come back to me with all your heart. Don't let fear keep us apart. Trees to bend, though straight and tall. So must we to others call. Long have I waited for your coming, home to me and deeply living a new life. The wilderness will lead you to your heart, where I will speak integrity and justice with tenderness. Your soul shall know. Long have I waited for your coming, home to me and living deeply a new life. Okay, there you go. We have 4 minutes.
Beautiful,
yeah, those are the words from Hosea.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
You're welcome.
Praise God.
I'm raspy. Yeah, Hosea is beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful.
I want to thank Nick for joining us on the air tonight. Anything you want to say, Nick, while you're still on? Yes, not. Keith, always, like, love you, girl.
Hey, I got my mute. The mute thing was getting me again. I'm sorry. I just want to thank everyone for, you know, throwing in their aspects and, you know, I just getting to know all this stuff, and I just appreciate all your words of wisdom and positivity, and I'm living, you know, living what I hear every day, and, you know, I just want to thank you for teaching what I'm yearning for, I guess.
Right on. Yeah. The living water, the Lord referred to this. You wouldn't even need food or anything. This is what we would, you know, this is what would sustain us.
Yeah.
And
I have more time tomorrow. I'll read you some He and I tomorrow night because it'll take a little longer than the few minutes that we have left. But it's really good.
Yeah, definitely. We love your He and I.
Yeah.
Oh, 90 seconds.
Keith, I sent you about my daughter's dream. My daughter had this dream. And
but some of it was kind of worded. There was a part of it. If you read it, there's a sentence farther down I couldn't understand the way it was worded.
Oh, okay.
Reread it. Make sure it makes, like, there's a part in it that isn't really, it did not.
Well, here, I, you know,
sense.
I can get it here.
Yeah.
Maybe the others need to hear this dream. She
guys,
was looking.
We have,
yeah, those are things
yeah.
I would love to hear, to be honest with
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have enough time.
Send it to me again, Pat. Read it over and make sure it makes sense.
I have it here. The dream she had. Yeah, we don't have time.
You were down for 36 seconds.
Is it after
so.
End of dream? Yeah, okay. I'll see what it says.
I think it's
she thought it was a
thought.
Message to herself, yeah. All right, so love you guys, and we'll talk tomorrow morning.
Love you guys.
Tomorrow night.
Seconds.
And,
love you,
so Bryce says come.
Love you, Keith.
Jesus.
Love
Jesus.
Yes,
Jesus. Love you, everybody.
Yeah,
just, thanks,
everybody
for, thanks for everything you've given to us, everybody, tonight.
Love
it's
you, everybody.
Been good. Love you so much.
It's fun.
Okay. We'll talk soon. Maybe we'll talk up in the
definitely.
Air.
Hopefully.
Grab
see
one of those tornadoes there. Okay, have a blessed night, everybody. Bye-bye.
You
take care.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.